Jesus said, I am the light of the world. The one who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.
We light this candle as a sign of the coming light of Christ.
Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For the darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Come, Lord Jesus, our light and our salvation.
Let us walk in the light of the Lord.
Christ, who has gathered us to worship, now greet you with these words. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have given your only begotten Son to take our nature upon him and to be born of a virgin. Grant that we, who have been born again and made your children by adoption and grace, may daily be renewed by your Holy Spirit. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the same Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. The Holy Child of Bethlehem came to cast out sin and to bring us the gift of salvation. Let us now open our hearts to receive what God gives. Let us confess our sins together. Holy God, you have come among us in Jesus Christ, hallowing our humanity and embodying love. We confess that we have turned from the path Jesus has marked, failing to claim all you intend for us, withholding love from our neighbors and from ourselves. Forgive us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today, that our lives might reflect Christ's radiant light. The Word is now flesh and lives among us, full of grace and truth. For all who receive him and believe in his name, he gives the power to become children of God. Therefore, as a called and ordained minister of the Church of Jesus Christ and by his authority, I declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Assured of God's forgiveness, let us confess the faith which holds us fast, using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
I'm Noah Morgan. I'm the pastor here at Hebron Presbyterian Church, and I want to welcome you this holy night, this maybe not so silent night, to the celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We hope that you will experience his presence here with us tonight, as we hear him speak to us through his word, and we meet him at the Lord's table. A couple of things that I want to bring to your attention as we move forward. Before you leave here today, you all get a consolation prize for showing up. A local artisan has made these Hebron Christmas ornaments just for us, and every household gets to take home one of their own this evening.
So please, as you leave this through the front doors, meet me, and I will have your ornament for your tree. These are real clay. They're rather beautiful. I also want to let you know that we're collecting an offering tonight. The proceeds of this offering will go to Goochland Cares and to the work that they do in this community. So when that time comes, if you can't give an offering tonight, feel free to reach out to the church office and we will add that to the overall offering that we'll send to Goochland Cares on behalf of the congregation. And now some instruction. You should all have a candle. Does everyone have their candle? When we come to the candle lighting section of the service, you're going to want to do two things. First, you're going to make sure there's no hair or flowy garments near your candle. Second, what I need you to do is when we get there, push it up so that the wick is above the plastic layer, the plastic's top. Then tilt your candle to the lit candle. Don't tilt the lit candle to the unlit candle. The unlit to the lit. Then once you pull it back, pull back down so that the wick is below the plastic. This is an old building made of wood, so we wouldn't want any accidents, and this will keep us all safe. And finally, this evening, we're celebrating the Lord's Supper. This is not Hebron's table. This is Christ's table, and he's the one who makes the invitation. All those who have been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are welcome to eat of this meal. Tonight, we will be doing communion by intinction. So that means that you will come up and receive the piece of bread from me, and I'll say the body of Christ broken for you. And you can respond with amen or alleluia, whatever is appropriate for you. And then you'll move to my right, your left, where there will be a cup where you can then dip your bread into the cup and receive the blood of Christ. There's also a tray if that, for any reason, you don't feel that you want to dip. There will also be a tray with smaller cups that you can partake of. The ushers will direct you when that time comes, so please be on the lookout. And I also want you to know that for whatever reason, if you don't feel that you can partake of this supper tonight, I would still invite you to come forward, hands over your heart, so that you can receive a blessing, because God has grace for us all. So now, as we turn to God's word and continue our service, let us pray. O God, through your mighty acts, we receive grace upon grace. From your fullness, feed us with your life-giving word, that in turn our lives, like bread, may feed a hungry world. Through that same Jesus Christ. Amen. Our first scripture reading tonight comes from the prophet Isaiah, the 9th chapter. Listen now to God's word. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied exaltation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppression, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the trampling warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests on his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Great will be his authority, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I want to invite any children to come forward for a children's message. I know you're there because I see you. Okay, come sit down right here. Sit down right here. Very nice. Very nice. Very good, William. Welcome, Weston. Come sit down here. Very nice. Very nice. Okay, tonight we're hearing a story of Christmas. You'll hear it as I read it later. But I want to, right now with you, to read a different story that might give us a little bit of perspective and a different view of Christmas. So we're reading The Tale of the Three Trees, a traditional folk tale. Once upon a mountaintop, three little trees stood and dreamed of what they wanted to become when they grew up. The first tree looked up at the stars twinkling like diamonds above him. I want to hold treasure. I want to be covered with gold and filled with precious stones. I will be the most beautiful treasure chest in the whole world. The second tree looked at the small stream trickling by its way on its way to the ocean. I want to be a strong sailing ship, he said. I want to travel mighty waters and carry powerful kings.
I will be the strongest ship in the whole world. And the third little tree looked down into the valley below, where busy men and busy women worked in a busy town. I don't want to leave this mountaintop at all, she said. I want to grow so tall that when people stop to look at me, they will raise their eyes to heaven and think of God. I will be the tallest tree in the world. Well, years passed, the rains came, the sun shone, and the little trees grew tall. One day, three woodcutters climbed the mountain. Can you see them? The first woodcutter looked at the first tree and said, "This tree is beautiful. It is perfect for me." With a swoop of his shining axe, the first tree fell. "Now I shall be made into a beautiful chest," thought the first tree. "I shall hold a wonderful treasure." The second woodcutter looked at the second tree and said, "This tree is strong. It is perfect for me." With a swoop of his shining axe, the second tree fell. "Now I shall sail mighty waters," thought the second tree. "I shall be a strong ship for the king." The third tree felt her heart sink. When the last woodcutter looked at her, she stood straight and tall and pointed bravely to heaven. But the woodcutter never even looked up. "Any kind of tree will do for me." With a swoop of his axe, the third tree fell. The first tree rejoiced when the woodcutter brought him to a carpenter shop. But the busy carpenter was not thinking about treasure chests. Instead, his work-worn hands fashioned the tree into a feed box for animals. The once beautiful tree was not covered with gold or filled with treasure. He was coated with sawdust and filled with hay for hungry animals. The second tree smiled when the woodcutter took him to a shipyard, but no mighty sailing ships were being made that day. Instead, the once strong tree was hammered and sawed into a simple fishing boat. Too small and too weak to sail an ocean or even a river, he was taken to a little lake. Every day, he brought in loads of dead, smelly fish. The third tree was confused when the woodcutter cut her into strong beams and left her in a lumber yard. "What happened?" the once tall tree wondered. "All I ever wanted was to stay on the mountaintop and point to God." Many days and nights passed. The three trees nearly forgot their dreams. But one night, golden starlight poured over the first tree as a young woman placed her newborn baby in the feed box. "I wish I could make a cradle for him," her husband whispered. The mother squeezed his hand and smiled as the starlight shone on the smooth and sturdy wood. "This manger is beautiful," she said. And suddenly the first tree knew that he was holding the greatest treasure in the world. One evening, a tired traveler and his friends crowded into the old fishing boat. The traveler fell asleep as the second tree quietly sailed out into the lake. Soon, a thundering and thrashing storm arose. The little tree shuddered. He knew he did not have the strength to carry many passengers safely through the wind and rain. The tired man awakened. He stood up, stretched out his hand, and said, "Peace." The storm stopped as quickly as it has begun. And suddenly the second tree knew he was carrying the king of heaven and earth. One Friday morning, the third tree was startled when her beams were yanked from the forgotten woodpile. She flinched as she was carried through an angry, jeering crowd. She shuddered when the soldiers nailed a man's hands to her. She felt ugly and harsh and cruel. But on Sunday morning, when the sun rose and the earth trembled with joy beneath her, the third tree knew that God's love had changed everything. It had made the first tree beautiful. It had made the second tree strong. And every time people thought of the third tree, they would think of God. That was better than being the tallest tree in the world. The end. Well, my friends, tonight is just the beginning of the story. We celebrate the birth of the baby Jesus. But that's what it is. It's a beginning. And there's a middle and there's an end part. And now we're all here part of that greater story. So remember, as we listen to the story of the birth of Jesus, that this is just the beginning. Thank you. Go back to your parents.
Our second reading is from the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter, starting in the first verse. Listen now to God's word. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went to the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place in the guest room. Now in that same region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on peace, on earth, peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child laying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. And Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. See, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. I'm sure this is not exactly what the shepherds had expected they would hear this night as they went out to tend their flocks. For them, this would have been a normal night like any other, in a similar pattern to 100 nights before. Many of my farmers here know that rhythm. But on this night, something would change. Something would be different that would alter their lives in its entirety. These shepherds would themselves become witnesses to the long-awaited day of promise. the angels announce the arrival of the Messiah child, the one who would change everything. This is something our culture often misses in its celebration of Christmas. We love our beautiful nativity scenes on cards or ornaments or in creches. We love celebrating the birth of a baby with gifts and light. But the meaning of Christmas is not simply about the birth of a baby 2,000 years ago. That doesn't have much influence on our lives today. No, the true meaning of Christmas is found in the one who is foretold. It's found in who this newborn child is and what he means for the world, what he means for each of us. The presence of the angels was not the only unexpected thing this night, but the identity of that unexpected child. And that identity would lead the shepherds, would lead Mary and Joseph, and lead even us here today to stand in awe and wonder of this newborn. We find in the angels' words the truth of the child born this night, that he is the Savior, that he is the humble Savior, and that he is the humble Savior for you. First, the angels proclaimed that this child was the Savior. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. Now, it may surprise us, but the shepherds may not have been as surprised that the angels were coming to announce that there was a Savior. Many in that day claimed to be saviors. Indeed, the rulers of Rome proclaimed this from the mountaintop every day. Caesar Augustus was savior to the people. He brought peace to what was supposedly a chaos-ridden barbarian land. As people under Roman subjugation, the Jews would have known of all these so-called messiahs, so-called saviors. They would have been inundated with the propaganda of the state about who was Lord of their life. So this might not have been as surprising to them. What was surprising was that the angels announced that this would not be another earthly savior. This would not be a so-called political ruler like every other. Instead, this Savior that they proclaimed would be the long-awaited anointed of God, the Messiah. The prophets of old, the Hebrew prophets of old, they told of his coming, one who would come and deliver the people of God from everything that oppressed them, everything that separated them from God, and would raise them to new life again. This is what the people had hoped for as long as they could remember. Their parents, their grandparents, their ancestors had all lived under some form of oppression by an empire. They were batted back and forth between the world powers of the day. They could not live as free people of God's kingdom. They needed a deliverer. And so the prophets proclaimed that the Messiah would come and free the people from bondage, would restore them to a godly nation unshackled from the empires of this world. And at the same time, this anointed would deal with the greater tyrant. This Messiah would deal with that thing which ultimately was oppressing them. And this was their sin. All that kept them from knowing and loving their God fully, from experiencing the true life that comes when a creature is in communion with their Creator. All of these things the Messiah would come to take away, would wipe away the boundaries that separated us from one another and from God. This anointed Savior would not just take away earthly oppression. No, but he would deal with judgment and take away and free from slavery to sin. In every aspect of our being, Christ would be our deliverer. And to be a deliverer, as the prophets foretold, he would have to be God's very presence in our midst. For only God could do what the Messiah could do, was told to do. He would be not just the deliverer, but he would be their God and creator. This child was the Lord in their midst. This is what the people waited for. This is what the angels had proclaimed had come. Now the hymn says it best, the hopes and the fears of all the years were met in him that night. This child is the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. Now, even as he is the Savior, this child is also the humble Savior. So the shepherds knew what a so-called Roman Messiah, what a Roman Savior looked like. They knew what they would act like. They've come in with banners and trumpets, a retinue of people proclaiming the greatness of their deeds and how they had vanquished the barbarian. So you might imagine then their surprise when the angels tell them, the shepherds, that what they will find is a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. This Savior child would not be born of great monarchs or of the Caesars, but of peasants that come from a rural settlement. He would not even be born in his own home, but be sent out by the powers of this day to a backwater town, a town that was too full even to accept him. He would be attended not by princes or great philosophers, but by livestock and by shepherds, laid to rest in a feeding trough. Now, this is not the nice and clean image of our nativity scenes, is it? But this is the real, the dirty, the messy, the humble and lowly beginning of our Messiah. The Savior of humanity came into the world not as those mythical kings and rulers of yore, but as an infant, meek and mild. Now, this was humble beginnings enough, but even more so when we remember that this lowly infant, the child in the manger, was in actuality Almighty God. Come down to us. The Son, the one who was in the beginning with God and who was God, who shared all the glory and honor of the Father, whom the angels worshiped. This one did not count equality with God as something to be grasped, but he emptied himself. He took the form of a man. He took on human flesh. Mild he lays his glory by, born that we no more may die. All the religions of the world lift up the virtue of humility, but none talk of a humble God who would come down to be God with us. That the eternal God would take on human frailty and weakness just shows the humility of our Savior. That this Messiah child became like us in every way, that he was tempted and tested like us in every way except without sin. He can sympathize with all of our weakness because he experienced it firsthand. Have you felt pain? He's felt it. Have you experienced loss or grief? He's experienced it. Have you bore betrayal or hurt? He has bore it in himself. There is nothing in our brokenness and frailty that our Savior hasn't felt. He knows our humility and our weakness because it is his own. The child born this night is none other than God come down, enfleshed, the humble Savior. And finally, the Messiah child came to earth, but he came with a purpose. He came for you. Yes, you, the humble Savior, come for you. Again, the shepherds would have stood surprised when the angel said, "For to you is born this day in the city of David." They were seen at the time as the lowest of the low, dirty, unscrupulous, unclean. In the eyes of the world, unworthy to be bearers or witnesses of good news. And yet, the good news of great joy was given to them. The angels came to them. Christ child was revealed to them. Pardon me. This shows that our Savior came not first for the powerful and the mighty, but for the lowly and the weak. He lived as a humbled one on the margins of Roman society, and he came bearing good news to the marginalized, to the weak, the oppressed, to the broken. He came for them. And if he came for them, how much more would he come for us? We who are weak and broken, we who are seeking life in this weary world that seeks to drain us of all that makes us human, how much more would this Savior come to us? The scripture says that he comes for us out of the great love for which he loved us, the love with which our Creator made us. But it's not just an us in this sort of ethereal sense, this sort of group idea, but it's us, each one of us, individually, personally, you, 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 you. All of you. He came for you. He came not to be a general Savior, but to be your Savior. He came not to sympathize with humanity, but to sympathize with your weakness. He came not just as God with us, but as God with you. The Savior came to bear your brokenness, to free you from your sin, to grant you life everlasting, to grant you peace and joy that only God can give. He came to earth and he came for you. So maybe you're here tonight as one who has believed for a long time. You've claimed the faith, but you're struggling with weakness in your spiritual life and not thinking that you're good enough to receive God's love. Your Savior stands and says before you, "Come to me, lean on me in your weakness, because I am strong when you are weak. Receive the gift of God's love from me." Maybe you're sitting there trying to get into the joy of this season, trying to sing the songs that usually uplift you, but you find for whatever reason, because of whatever life circumstances, grief or loss, broken family, or a broken self, that you are in a state of despair. Your Messiah says, "I know your brokenness. I feel your pain because I've felt it all before. Come to me. Find rest for your soul." Or maybe you've come here tonight because you enjoy the music, You enjoy the festivities, you enjoy the carols and the lights, but in your heart of hearts, you don't believe. Or maybe you don't know if you believe. Your Jesus calls to you now and says, "Receive me. Let me be born in you this day. For in me there is peace and life and joy everlasting." This is our humble Savior come down for you. The shepherds didn't expect what would be told to them that fateful night, nor would they expect that this child would be the one long foretold. But in this their story, we find the meaning and the truth of Christmas, even for us. Because Jesus came as the humble Savior to bring peace and joy, we can have that sure and certain hope that he will come to us in our weakness to redeem and to restore. This is the good news of great joy, and it is for all people. So come, let us adore him, the humble Savior born for you. Glory be to his name. Amen. That our offering this evening will go to support the work of Goochland Cares. I would also invite you in the pew in front of you to take out the welcome card if you're visiting with us, or if this is your 1,000th time, and just fill that out and place it in the offering when it comes around. Rejoicing in the birth of Christ our Savior, we give back to God what we first received from God, the gift of our very lives.
Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. They shall come from east and west and north and south and sit at table in the kingdom of God. When our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. Their eyes were opened and they recognized him as he was. This is the Lord's table. He commands all believers to eat this bread and drink this cup in true faith and in confident hope of his return in glory. In this supper, God declares to us that our sins are forgiven completely through the one sacrifice of Christ. He also declares to us that by the Holy Spirit, we are grafted into Christ, who with his very body now in heaven, at the right hand of the Father, receives all glory and worship. This is the Lord's table. So come, you who have much faith, and you who would like to have a little bit more, you who have been to this table often, and you who have not been for a long time, you who have tried to follow Jesus, and you who may have failed, come. It is Christ who invites you here. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O holy God, creator and ruler of the universe. You created light out of darkness and brought forth life on earth. You formed us in your image and called us to love and serve you. When we were unfaithful and turned from your ways, you did not forsake us. Your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity and made covenant to be our sovereign God and sent prophets to call us back to your way. In the fullness of time, you sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. In him, your word, dwelling with you from all eternity, became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And we beheld your glory, Emmanuel. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Born in humility, he came to rule over us all. Helpless as an infant, he showed the power of your love. Poor in the things of this world, he brought wealth, the wealth of your grace. Rejected by many, he welcomed all who sought him. In his dying and rising, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. Remembering your gracious acts in Jesus Christ, we take from your creation this bread and this cup, and joyfully celebrate his dying and rising as we await the day of his coming. With thanksgiving, we offer our very selves to you to be living and holy sacrifices dedicated to your service. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us gathered here, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ our Lord. By your Spirit, make us one in Christ, that we may be made one with all who share this meal, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ for the world. With Mary, help us to treasure and ponder the gift that has been given to us, a gift of good news and great joy for all. With the prophets, help us to proclaim the promise of your peace to all nations and your justice for all people. With the shepherds, help us to keep watch over those entrusted to our care and all who need protection this night. With the angels, help us to offer signs of hope, comfort, and joy to all who live in fear. Empower us by your Spirit, O God, to reflect Christ's presence in the world, even as Jesus is God with us. Give us courage to speak his truth, to seek his justice, and to love with his love. Keep us faithful in your service until Christ comes in final victory, and we shall feast with all your saints in the glory of your eternal kingdom. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it. And he And he gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you eat of it, do it in remembrance of me." In a similar way, after the supper had ended, he took the cup. And after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Take and drink. This is my blood, shed for you and for many for the remission of sin. As often as you drink of it, do it in remembrance of me." And so it is that as often as we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we proclaim our Lord crucified and risen until he comes again in glory. These are the gifts of God, and they are for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Broken for you. Let us pray. God of grace and peace, you have shared your life with us through the child born in the manger and in this simple meal together. So now let us share your life with others as the body of Christ in the world. Through that same Jesus Christ, the bread of heaven, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overtake it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who receive him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become the children of God. Who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth.
Oh,
Jesus Christ is God with us. Come to us in our weakness, taking on our very flesh, so that we might know the peace, the joy, and the everlasting life of God our Creator. So go from this place in the blessed hope of Jesus Christ, Lord at his birth, incarnate Word. And as you go, go with the blessing of Almighty God that I lay upon you in his name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace this day and always. Amen. Amen. Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Go in peace.